Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm Bill Shear, and I have the distinct honor of pastoring this church, which I like to say every time I get up here, because it is an honor. It's an easy place to preach, easy place to, because I believe the doctrine that God has set in his promise, and that's what we rely on, is God's promise. And the doctrine of this church, and that we always gravitate and grab a hold of, is what God's promised us. You know, I started this whole shebang with God in 1979, and didn't have any church background. I wasn't raised in church. You know, I had a little sprinkling of church here and there as a kid, but really nothing to speak of. And some of you guys maybe are rich and steeped in a traditional church, or maybe even in a church background. I didn't have that when I came to the Lord. I was just a sinner, okay? So I didn't have to unpack anything. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. And that's really what I thought for the first couple of years I was a Christian. I'd hear something and be like, you're kidding me. And I'd look around the room and think, have you guys known this? Is this something that you've heard before? Because I've never heard it before. And what's interesting about this is that God uses his word. His word is preeminent. His word is all that there is in life that we need of. And I'm going to make two or three points today that is going to, it's really going to exemplify that. It's going to make that a powerful notion in your life, because without that, it's going to be hit and miss. It's going to be, man, oh, I made it by the skin of my teeth, or oh, I got caught in that train wreck. And that's what life will be. Until you put the perspective and the context of God's word in the right place in your life. I just want to stand here and tell you, I hear God's voice. I want to tell you, I know God's heart. I want to tell you that the nature of God is what I want to pull into in every part of my life, is God's nature. So his voice, his heart, and his nature. And what he uses his word. And the Bible says this, and the why we come together, some of you guys in St. Paul are thinking right now, why are we here at church? Why are we in this high school? Because a tornado hit our building. I don't know if you knew that a couple months ago. So they've been meeting in the high school, and we're working on it right now. I think the roof's going in starting this week. They're going to put new air conditioners in. We're rebuilding everything, and we're excited about the Clare Copers. But why am I at church? Why are you here in Tulsa? Why are you listening to this right now on the internet? And it's because God's word. Now listen, here's why. God's word's alive. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword or any weapon on this earth. It's sharper than that. It's more powerful. It's better than that. God's word's alive. So what's going to happen is the word, you come into a church like this, especially here, you come in and the word's going to be preached. It's not going to tickle your, this is not going to tickle your ears today. I doubt that you're going to be standing and applauding today, because it's going to speak to your inner man. It's going to speak to the spirit that's on the inside of you. See, and that's what you want. You go to the movie house to get thrilled or to laugh, to get entertained. But man, we come to church to be built up in our inner man, who we really are in Christ. Now, you got that part? See, so now we look at our lives, And we're sitting here right now, and the word's being preached, and that word's alive, so it's going to find its way to that place in your heart that you have need. See, what God is, there's parts of your life that you feel like are separated from God a little bit. Well, the word, God becomes the repairer of the breach. He repairs. What he does is he brings that together. See, so there's so many people that have issues with their life, and some of you guys have had lifelong issues. And you have things in your life that you've been dealing with, and man, you'll try to go toe-to-toe with it, and you'll try to deal with it, you'll try to medicate it, you'll try to get the right positive speaker and get the right positive thoughts in your mind, and you battle and battle and battle, and you never get over that hump. It's because it's spiritual. I'm just telling you, and that's what God's word does. God's word finds its way to your life to deliver you, to set you free, to heal you, and it's phenomenal. But you know what? We don't see it that way. We almost see it linear. We almost see it where it's maybe one or two dimensional. Where God's word, where we look at this and it boils down to this in our lives, that God wants to bless you. Get over yourself. God wants you, I believe God wants you to have wealth. I believe God wants you to be healthy. I believe God wants you to live at peace in life. I believe God wants his joy to be your strength. I believe all of that. I'm telling you, as much as is within me, I'm telling you, I believe God that's the truth. See, but the reality is completely different because facts are sprinkled into that in our lives. And when our life becomes all about the factual aspect of things, we end up losing. Or we end up having to fight that scoreboard and that clock. Do you understand? The timing of God is not linear. It has nothing to do. It's not chronological. It has nothing to do with hours and minutes. The timing of God, listen, has to do with moments. That today you may have a moment. See, that's what I want to create. When I'm putting messages together, I'll just let you see the man holding the lever behind the curtain. It's to create moments in this service. I'm looking for the music, the song part of this service, to for there to be moments. That's why I'll get up and say, man, okay, skip that part and go to the good part. Why? There may be a moment in there for you. And we have that moment with God where it's like poof, and it's like everything becomes brand new, because that's what God does. See, the Bible even refers to the suddenlies of God. And suddenly there was a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly a sonic boom hit where they were praying. And they all were together and they were in one accord. And let me tell you, people from all over the countryside in the marketplace ran to that building and in the upper room, and Peter came and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because they had a moment in there in prayer. See, we look at this, and I'm just telling you, God wants to bless you, and I'll tell you why. And I'll ask you a question. Do you believe God wants to use you? Do you truly believe that God's hands in your life, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you because he wants to use your life? See, if you say yes, then it's easy for you then to take a few steps and connect the dots that God wants to bless you. Why does God want to bless you? Because God wants to use you. See, the first of all, God wants to bless you because he loves you. The people I love, I want to bless them. The people who love me, bless me. Why? That's the character, that's the nature of God. That's all God does to his children. See, there's people that come and say, well, you know, the good Lord gives, the good Lord takes away. Sometimes God uses these things. It's like, shut the heck up. I'm not kidding you. Don't lay that stuff on God. God blesses his children. God, yeah, he's going to chastise you. He's going to correct you. Why does he correct you? Because he wants you to get you to that place, that moment where his grace occupies your life, and then his power is in full measure in your life. See, the idea of our lives now is that God blesses us. Why? Because he loves us. God blesses us. Why? Because he wants us to be a blessing. Those are the two reasons, and nothing else matters. That God's blessings are upon us and they overtake us. He daily loads us with benefits. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he wants to use us to help hurting people, to connect people with him. I'm telling you, God is obsessed with us. And you'll say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not. The Bible says that he's constantly mindful of us. You know what that is? That's obsession. We're the apple of his eye. Even though we've got miscuts and cracks and chips and all kinds of things about our statuette of life, and he still loves us so much. We can't see the width of it and the height of it and the depth of it and the breadth of it. We can't. It's like, oh my gosh, we can't get away from it. That his blessings are upon us. But God's provision is to be dispensed by his people. He's looking for us to dispense blessing and his life to people. That's why we're here. here at church, in this community. That's why we're on this earth. That's our purpose. What's my purpose is to dispense God's blessings to people, not to judge them, not to be critical of them. Not to give my unsolicited opinion. But we have to understand that we're all dealing with stuff and have dealt with things most of our lives. But I'll tell you this, we try to go toe-to-toe with those things. Yeah, I'm not going to overeat anymore. I'm not going to drink too much anymore. I'm not going to dog cuss people when I get mad anymore. And you can't help it, because the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. It's because if that stuff's in your heart, if that rage is, if you've ingested it into your life and it's in your heart, it's going to come out no matter how much you try to harness it. That lust is going to be exhibited. It's going to play out in your life if that's what you're consuming. And that's either greed or maybe sexual immorality or whatever it might be. If that's what you're, let me tell you, you cut it off from your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, you will stop doing it. See, all this stuff is imported. All this stuff has come into our lives, and you know what? It's by the design of the enemy. It's to get us to get off track. It's to get us into the ditch. Man, it's God's will for us to live on his path, on his track. But I personally believe, and I can back this up in the Word, and I'm about to in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, behind every natural law, there's a spiritual law. I believe behind every natural action, there's a spiritual action. I believe that everything is either godly or demonic that flows from our lives. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, the writer says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Okay? So that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. See, what happens is what was invisible becomes visible. Behind every natural law is a spiritual law. If you're lonely, let me tell you, it's spiritual. If you're depressed, let me tell you, it's spiritual. If you're, I'm just telling you, if you're fearful, if you're anxious, it's all spiritual. If you've been rejected, it's spiritual. And you'll think, no, that joker, that eighth grade football coach rejected me. Yeah, we've all been rejected, but the things that hold us back, the things that hold us down, the things that we're continually dealing with, it's spiritual. There's a demonic assignment of rejection, of loneliness, of anxiety, of fear, of depression. Please listen to me, because this can change everything. See, and we look at our lives. I wrote some notes this morning, so I have to go back to my notes. When we're continually dealing with something in life, there's always something spiritual that's behind it. God framed our world, and the devil distorts things to be out of line, to be off track, to be difficult. I personally believe marriage is work. I also believe that God didn't intend for it to be difficult. See, I think a lot of times we'll say, well, it's work to raise kids. I agree, but it doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, the idea of this is that we have to harden ourselves to difficulties, or don't allow them to make up the fabric of our lives. But it's how long will you live in a difficult situation? See, but the idea of this, I think a lot of times people come in and they'll say, okay, you know what I got to do? If it's personal hygiene, let's say it's not marriage, it's personal hygiene. It's like okay, here's what I want to do. I want to help you with your personal hygiene. Here's a brush. Here's a comb, and you'll be there, and you'll comb your hair, and you'll think, man, how do I look? It's like, well, your hair's combed, but you stink to high heaven. You've got body odor, because it's not just that one function. Everything works together. Everything comes into play. There's multifacets. There's the 360 degree angle of our life that that I know that the average educated adult in America, the male, has between five or six blind spots in their life. So we're going through life thinking, oh, we're all hunky-dory. And let me just tell you, man, and then there's a big stain on the back of our shirt. And we don't even realize it. And people are looking and it's discrediting us because we're thinking we're all that. See, so we come to church and God, what does God's word do? God's word, the Bible. See, I can't judge you because I can judge your fruit, but I can't judge you because I can't see into your heart. But let me just tell you, I can't see into my own heart. I can tell you what I presume is in my heart, but let me just tell you, man, my eye and my mind pick up a lot of things I don't realize. So it gets into my heart. It has to go through my eyes or my ears or my mouth and through my brain and into my heart, and it settles. And the combination of my soul and my spirit makes up my heart. The Bible says, guard your heart. Man, if I'm around people that are gossipy, it's going to affect my life. If I'm around negative people, let me just tell you, if you're around negative people, that is not a godly influence. I don't care how long they've been Christians. I don't care how many tape series they've developed. I don't care how long a line of ministry heritage they have. I'm telling you, negative people are demonically influenced. Optimistic or positive people then, that's God where it's optimistic, where my cup runs over. See, I'm not trying to measure whether it's half full or half empty. I'm calling it running over in the name of Jesus. But see, we look at our lives and the things that have occupied our lives. That's why do you think Jesus said, man, when you agree is touching anything, it'll be done. But previous to that, why do you think he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven? Because what I want to do is I want to bind up the demonic influence of my life, and I want to loose the godly influence of my life. Does that make sense to you? See, but we've got to be active in this, and we can't be all shucks. I don't know how that even happened. How did I even get here? You took the steps to get there. That's how you got there. Some steps are very easy to take. Other steps, which are elevated steps, are much harder to take. Man, climbing stairs is much harder. I have a routine where I have a walk run in my neighborhood. And you know what I'll do? I'll admit, I walk the areas that are uphill or an incline, and I run the areas that are a decline. And somebody said, well, you know, it's much easier on your knees if you run the incline. I'm like, I'm not real concerned. I'm telling you, I just want to make it through. So I'm going to run the decline. Gravity becomes my friend. But see, in our lives, let me tell you, that incline, that's what gets your heart beating. That's what gets you sweating. That's what gets you panting, is when you have to walk that elevation. And let me just tell you, our natural life doesn't want to have to do that. We want to take the easy way. We want everything to be downhill. Man, that's why you listen to your dad or you listen to your granddad, and they're talking about how it was when they went to school or how it was when they started their business, how it was when they started their church. Man, you walked uphill both directions. Why? Because it was constantly elevating, and that's what you remember. But see, in our lives, when there's something going on in your marriage, there's something going on in your life, there's something going on with your kid, man, we try to deal with it naturally, and it's not going to deal with it. I'm telling you, we're going to be dealing with it for the rest of our lives, but we deal with it spiritually. So how do you deal with it spiritually? You bind what's negative, you bind what's demonic, and you loose what's positive, and you loose what's heavenly, what's godly. And it really is that simple. See, when we look here, let me just tell you, let's go back to the word. John 7:37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, what happens in this life, when the word comes into your life, rivers of living water flow from you. But you know what? There's a lot of people that when you take aim on, you become selfish and self-centered, it becomes a reservoir and it dies. See, rivers are life. Reservoirs aren't. Things can't live there. And see, our lives, the rivers of living water that flow from our life, man, it helps people. That's why God wants you blessed. He wants rivers of living water. Man, you leave a trail of helped people in your life. It becomes magnetic. What's missing in your heart? Because the word's going to take aim at it, and it's going to fill it, and it's going to cause it to overflow in your life and become a river, not a reservoir of living water. What God wants to do through our lives is nothing short of phenomenal. That's why he's equipped us, listen, to house rivers of living water. Rivers of life-giving power are meant to flow from our lives and impact the people that are around us. This starts with us trusting God's word in every area of our life. In Matthew 6:21, the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You know, I've heard that preached before, just recently. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. No, you can't flip that equation. Where your treasure is where your heart's going to be. I want my heart to be with Sandy, with my children, with my grandchildren, with this church. How do I make sure it's there? I put my treasure there. I put my investment in my marriage. I put my investment in my church. I put my investment where my kids are. Oh, we want people loving the church. No, put your treasure in the church. Then your heart will be there. See, that's how this works. See, that's how we take responsibility for it then. That's why the tithe is preeminent to our walk with God. Number one, you know what that tithe does? It breaks the power of mammon, the power of the world off our money. The power of lack, the power of decrease, the power of poverty comes off of our lives. Why? Because we simply tithe. That's the principle of the first fruits principle of the tithe. But you know what else it does? It puts our treasure in the church. So now if my treasure's there, my heart's going to be there as well. Now, you know what? Offensive people that the church is full of. It's like me wanting to visit the hospital and not seeing any sick people. It's like, oh my gosh, everybody's just sick at the hospital. It's like, yeah. That's what it's designed for. The church is designed to pull in bitter people, people that have been marginalized, people that have been neglected, people that need hope. Anybody in here need hope? Well, let me just tell you, man, if we're offering hope, we have to find hopeless people. We have to find people that are hurt. What part of your life is it hard for you to trust God? What if we dealt with that one area today? But you can identify with it. But let me just tell you, that place, until you deal with it spiritually, you're always going to struggle. Always. Why do you think poverty is so fluent throughout America? Why do you think medicine and hospitals and doctoring is all on the rise in America? Because we're trying to deal with things naturally, physically, emotionally, mentally, rather than spiritually. Man, what's that one area of your life that you've struggled with for a long time? What if we find God's promise for that, and that's what we focus on? That it becomes so clear to us that we can focus it. Now my effort becomes spiritual like that. Because see, so many people in here, whether it's your gender or your age or your socioeconomic background or your race, your color, yeah, it's human nature to marginalize people. I felt marginalized my whole ministry life. Oh, yeah, you passed that little guts thing. How's that little thing you're doing with kids? Man, you know, what's that thing you guys do at Halloween, that spook house? Are you kidding me? Do you understand we've had over 250,000 salvations in that little spook house? No, but you look at it, but why? Because it's just human nature to marginalize. So if I take that rather than God's promise in my heart, I'm going to be limited. I'm going to be suppressed. There's going to be a curse in my life. Because all that curse is, it's not some voodoo thing. It's just a suppression that comes to our life. See, some of you guys, your dad rejected your mom, and you took that personally, and it has suppressed your life. I say we let God's blessing take over. I don't want you to always struggle in that area. What's the area you're struggling in? Man, and if you can't deal with it in God's word alone, just find somebody and say, hey, can we talk about this area of life and show me what God's promise says toward it? I got a little book 25 years ago that said God's promise for every need. I still refer to it. I still go back to it. It's a refreshing. It isn't brand new to me, but it refreshes me. It brings it back up. Let me tell you why the word is so important, and I'm going to close with this. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means ever pass away. See, that's how powerful God's word is. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to pass away. God's word's not going to. It doesn't matter if we're in an election cycle. It doesn't matter who's in office. It doesn't matter what's happening anywhere around the world. I'm telling you, God's word is never going to pass away. It is always going to be powerful. It is always going to be direct. It is always going to hit the mark. The Bible says it will never return to God void of power. See, because here's what happens. God sends his word and heals us and delivers us of our destruction. And we speak his word. We're sending that word back to him with power. See, that's what finishes the circuit. That's what makes the circuit complete, is when God speaks his word, we receive his word, we speak his word, it makes that connection of God's circuit and his power, just like electricity. And let me just tell you, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. It's how God operates in our lives. What area of your life are you deficient in? What area of life are you struggling in? Let's not struggle anymore. Let's rely on God's promise rather than the facts, rather than what we've said or other people have said about it. See, that's the life that I'm living right now. The life that I live right now, the marriage that I have right now, my children, my grandchildren, this church, my ministry life, it's all the words that I've spoken and the words I've received about it. Well, what if the negative, pessimistic side we realize is demonic? We go to the positive, optimistic side, and it's a whole new ball game. How about that? How about we just call our life a whole new ball game right here and right now? You know, it's interesting. Man, I've heard it 1,000 times. A team's behind, but then they score and they catch up or they tie the game. And what is the description of that game from there forward? It's a whole new ball game. What if this, after everything I've said up to this point in this service, what if right here and right now you've had struggles, you've had defeats, you had deficit, but now it's a whole new ball game. Now the playing field has just been leveled. Because God's obsessing over you being in that place. He's constantly mindful of you. You're the apple of his eye. His promises are yes and amen. His mercies became brand new today. The light has come. The darkness is dispelled. And God's on your side, and God's favoring you right now. Man, can you receive that today? Please, can you? All you have to do is be receptive. His arms aren't shortened. His power is not diminished. We just have to be able to receive it. What do we have to do? We have to look up. We have to look to him as our answer in Jesus' name. God, I thank you right now that every life is impacted in Sepulpa, in Skytook, watching on the internet, here in Tulsa. Every life is impacted in the name of Jesus. God, no one's missing out on this. Every one of us struggle, God, and we rely on you for our struggles. God, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, the lies and the deception of the enemy. God, I thank you right now that we overcome that, because we proclaim right now, say this with me, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm created in Christ Jesus for good works. God, the work you've started in me, come on, let me hear you. The work you've started in me, You're faithful to complete unto the day of Christ Jesus. I am not left at the curb. I am not an orphan anymore. I've been grafted in. I receive a spirit of adoption by which I cry out, Abba, Father. God, you're my dad. God, you love me. Therefore, you bless me. You want me to be a blessing. Therefore, you bless me. God, I thank you. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the field. No matter what, I said no matter what, I'm blessed. And through me, all the families of the earth are blessed. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you now that you seal this by your Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for a fresh infilling of your Spirit for every person in this place. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, man and woman. God, whomever. God, we receive all of you that we can get. Just open your heart right now and receive everything that you can from God right here and right now. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Taking care of things right now. Turning your marriage around. Turning your children around. God, I bind every demonic influence that's operating in every person in this service right here and right now in the name of Jesus. God, and I loose your will. I loose your provision. I loose your promise for every person here in the name of Jesus. If you're here and your life's not right with God, or you're here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you're here and you need a course correction in life, we're going to have ministry people on each side of the stage, elders, and I'm telling you, listen, important people in your life. Don't stiff arm this. Man, stiff arm the enemy. Stiff arm temptation. Stiff arm depression. Don't stiff arm this. Receive this with gladness today. Man, let the God of heaven and earth invade your life and correct things and make things new. Please receive this today.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.